Praise the Lord.
First of all, I want to say that we are doing something serious. We are not, you have heard me say before, and I want to say it again for emphasis purpose. We are not a youth ministry. We are not a youth ministry. I know that when a ministry becomes very large, they try to fragment the age groups for proper administration. Okay, they are the old people, they are the youths, teenagers, then children. We are not a youth ministry. Let me tell you why I'm standing on it seriously. Many people think when we say, when people are young, they think that all they just do is to come and play. They think youth ministry, what they call youth ministry is, oh, if youth, they say youth week. They're having a youth program. So what will happen? They'll have football match. They'll have dance, drama, suya night. Is that what we came here for? Is that what Christ died for? Answer me. Is that what Christ died for? We can have all of that as a church to have fun. But listen, we did not come here to play games. No service in New Breed is for the sake of just having service. If you have followed this ministry for a while, there is no ordinary service. Did you hear what I said? There is no service that just manages this one. Every service is serious. Because let me tell you something. You know, looking back at these few years, I'm seeing why it's important to take every service seriously. Because as a pastor, God has given me the supernatural privilege that anytime I stand up to open the Bible, it is to build, add one more block to what's building in your life. I'm telling you, to add one more block, one more scaffold. Some services are actually pillars. Some services become to casting pillars. I'm telling you. Some services we are putting rod and iron. Are you with me? And so we cannot play with any service. I used to tell them, I used to say, even if it is 1.5 member that is in church, it will not reduce the level of preparation and seriousness that we put into each service. I'm telling you. And if you think I'm joking, I guarantee you, I give you 5 years. Take all our teachings and be listening to it. Just be listening to it. You can go back to the Telegram group, download everything and start listening to it. Be praying with it and see what will happen in your life. I'm telling you, it is that word I'm teaching, and that word we are teaching is what has brought us here. You see, that is the currency of our ministry. Say after me, the word of God. So I will encourage you, go back to the teachings, everything. Be a proper disciple. Tell your neighbor, be a proper disciple. Tell your neighbor, be a proper disciple. I cannot hear you. Tell your neighbor, be a proper disciple. Listen, this year, the Lord has encouraged me to discourage all those careless kind of Christianity. You know, some people, they just come to church. They are not really into the ministry. They don't follow midweek service. They don't follow fasting. They don't follow devotions. They don't follow... Are you hearing what I'm saying? They don't listen to the service or the message. Just come on Sunday and just, nice place and go. No! You can't grow that way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you. Hold this thing hook, line, and sinker. So today, I want to teach something that I may have taught before, but now I want to teach it in a very specific way. Oh my God, it will change your life. My God. I've called it How to Believe God. That title should spark up something in your spirit. Audacity Part 2. On Sunday, we began the concept, you know, I brought in the concept of the ABCs of faith, where A stands for agree, B stands for believe, and C stands for confess. Father, in the name of Jesus, their hearts are open.
Everyone online, on site, Lord, their hearts are opened. In the name of Jesus. You see, I want to actually break down this concept of faith such that if you practice all we are going to teach in the year, in the month 2020, in the month January 2024, if you embrace it and practice it, faith to become your natural lifestyle. See, it is in doing this study, it dawned on me what I've been working with. Ah! Can I tell you, there is a spirit of faith upon me. See, there is a spirit of faith upon me. There is a spirit of faith at work in me. The spirit of faith is at work in me. Amen. Glory. So we said A means agree. And agree means to accept what God is saying as truth. You agree with God. That was the trust of Sunday's teaching. Are you with me? And basically, that's the same thing as saying believing. To agree or accept as truth basically means believe it. So you can say, we agree to believe. Praise the Lord. So we agree what God has said to believe it. And it looks so simple that, just agree with God. Just agree, accept it as truth and believe it, and that's all. But you see, people still struggle with believing. People still struggle with believing. Remember that scripture in Mark chapter 9 from verse 23. This man brought his son who was possessed with a demon to the disciples of Jesus, and they could not cast him out. And then the man brought the child to Jesus, and Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Open it, Mark chapter 9 verse 23. Jesus said unto the man, all things are possible to him that believeth. Kai. Then, the man, hearing what Jesus said. Okay, everybody read from verse 23. 1-3, go. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then in verse 24, I like this man. And straightway the father of the child cried out. And said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief. Are you seeing this? There are some people, they need to cry out, Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief. And that's what we came here to do this evening. I came to help the unbelief. Oh my God. If you understood what I said, you would have rejoiced. This is a prayer. He said, I believe. Help down my unbelief. So he was at that point where he's trying to believe, but there is this unbelief still there. Are there people like that today? Yes, emphatically yes. So they can be in church on Sunday, like we were on Sunday some days ago, hearing the sermon. Kai! Something rose up in them. But they come out on Monday and face something and they're like, ash! Hey! They wake up in the morning and remember that they don't have a job to go to. And they are wondering, what did the pastor preach on Sunday? Listen, if you pay attention to what I want to teach this evening, oh God, your life will change. But before we talk about believing and unbelief, Jesus gave us a solid promise. He says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Kai. Say to me, all things are possible to me because I believe. Ah. He said, all things are possible. Do you realize that Jesus did not say all things are possible with God? Of course, he has said in other scriptures before that all things are possible with God. But in this case, he did not say all things are possible even with me. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. That means as far as Jesus is concerned, the limitation is not with God. The limitation is not his power. The limitation is your believing. God is able. The Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. God is all powerful. He's able. He can do it. But do you believe? Now, for Jesus to hang the possibilities of God and said all things are possible to him that believeth, that means believing is a very serious thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you something here.
Somebody asked me one time that, how do you preach? How do you prepare sermons? So this is what I do. I ask questions like, this thing, how can somebody receive it and make it work in the person's life? Because you can hear something, but if you don't know how to apply it, it will still be like a pipe dream to you. Praise the Lord. So believing is a big thing in God's economy. Believing is a big thing in God's economy. Now, can I shock you? Hey, God. Believing requires labor. So can we do some Bible study? Hebrews chapter 4. Believing requires labor. There is some work you will do for you to get yourself to believe. Especially when it has to do with believing God. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 2. Hebrews 4 verse 2. Thank you, Jesus. And let me tell you, when you understand what I'm explaining today, we cannot finish today, obviously. We'll continue on Sunday. You will now understand why when you preach the gospel and somebody is not responding, just be patient. Because believing is not so simple. Are you with me? This study made me know that even if I preach the gospel to someone and the person says, no, I don't want to hear, go away. I should be patient because believing is actually labor. It takes a while. It takes some exercise. Everybody, Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Are you seeing this? Oh my God. Oh my God. That means if the word of God you are hearing is not mixed with faith, it cannot profit you. So, like we are seeing here, the word of God must be mixed with faith. Where? In them that heard it. So as you are hearing the word of God, you need to have a level of faith that mixes with the word of God to make it manifest in your life. Jump to verse 6. Even if you didn't understand what I just said, just follow me. Jump to verse 6. He said, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. He was talking about the Israelites here. He was saying that the Israelites also heard the same message that we heard. But listen, they could not enter into the promise of what God said to them because of unbelief. Verse 11. Everybody read verse 11 now. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 11. Read it one more time. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In the name of Jesus, you have understanding. So we have seen now that believing requires labor. The real labor is the part of believing. When you look at those three, the ABC of faith that we gave, A for agree, B for believe, and C for confess, the real labor is in that B. Are you following me? Oh my God. Are you following me? You know, when it comes to people preparing for exams, professional exams, they are so serious. When it comes to the things of God, if they know that that thing of God they are learning is even more serious than that professional exam, they will give it the attention it requires. You know, the funny thing is just that sometimes the things of God and things of the Spirit are sublime. You are tempted to just overlook it. Romans chapter 4 verse 18 says, talking about Abraham, it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall his seed be. So when there was no hope and no reason to believe at all, the Bible says Abraham believed that he might become the father of many nations. That means you believe to become. Tell anybody, you believe to become. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become. So when there was no reason at all to believe, when there was no hope, he yet believed that he became. And so that means, basically, you have to believe to become. See what David has to say about believing. Psalm 27 from verse 13. I'm doing all of this for you to see the importance of believing, to see how serious it is. Psalm 27, verse 13. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed. Psalm 27 from verse 13. Psalm 27 from verse 13. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Say after me, I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I will see the goodness of God in the year 2024. I see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Glory! I like the way David put it, because sometimes there are some people that are so religious that they've lost all faith and they use a religious cloak upon it. They say, don't worry, it will all get better when we get to heaven. I hear what I'm saying. Say, don't worry, we have tried here, it's not working. Don't worry, when we get to heaven, it will all be better. But David said, I have believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Oh my God. I believe to see the goodness of God here and now. I thought you would say it after me. I have believed to see the goodness of God here and now. I see the goodness of God here and now. Glory! Oh, they say when the person dies, you eventually go to rest. No, my rest has begun now. I live in the rest of God now. Unless I had believed to see. Now, go back to that verse. That tells you something. David is saying something very important here. He said, it looks as though he's trying to say something like this. If I did not believe, I would not see the goodness of God. He said, I had fainted. My end had actually come. If not that I believed, I wouldn't have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David is saying, if I did not believe, I would have fainted. Now, also look at this verse. He's saying, I have believed to see. You know, the world tells you, seeing is believing. But in the spirit realm, you have to believe to see. So it is what you have believed that you are going to see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is what you believe that you will see. Hey, if you understand what I'm saying here, you see, this thing is very serious. Oh God, give me the words to press the urgency into their heart in Jesus' name. When you understand this thing, you have to be very careful what you believe. You know, there are some people, they believe that no matter how much hard work you want to do, if you don't have some level of connection, some people even believe that if you don't pay bribe, there are levels of grace you cannot get to. There are levels of favor you cannot have. Let me tell you, that's what you will see. Whenever you are working out, because that's what you believe, circumstances will always play along to what is inside your heart. Eventually, when you ought to get the favor, somebody will say, you have to settle me first. Then when another person tells you, I did not settle anybody, I just went and they gave it to me, you'll be like, how come? No, that's what you believed. Ask your neighbor, what are you believing? Hey. He said, I had believed to see. And finally, still on the importance of believing. Isaiah 53 from verse 1. Isaiah 53 from verse 1. I believe that I am unstoppable. Hey. I thought somebody would practice. I believe that nothing can stop me. I believe that I am unstoppable. I can never be stranded. It is just who I am. God always favor me. God always favor me. Glory! Even the way people talk, you know what they believe. That's why I said confess comes after. They are on the line. They will say, I better do quick, make I reach the ATM machine. Because I know see my own no good. If you finish before I get it, in the name of Jesus. You know, people talk like that. They say my own no good. What do you mean by that? You know what you are saying? You are voicing out what you believe. Even if the
there was no money in the ATM machine. If I get there, it will manufacture it for me. Oh my God. I remember one day. Oh, this was in school, long time ago. They said there was no money in the ATM machine. I said there was money. You know, those mad faith days. You know, sometimes, oh God. I think God had to teach me that way. So that even if I learned by foolishness, I still got the message. They said there is no money. I said, there is money. And I went. Bam, bam. 2K came out. Another person tried. Insufficient funds. Like, funds, like there is no more discharging funds. You know, insufficient funds is saying there is no money in your account. Unable to discharge, thank you. You know, I said, you're unable to dispense cash. How you collect that one? I said, it's the last one inside. I collected it. And I was just feeling myself because it was a very long line. The person before me said, it's not dispensing. I said, it will dispense. They said, don't go and fool yourself. I went and God honored me with my 2K. And that time I did like that. It debited me. There, nothing came out. Isaiah 53 from verse 1, have you opened its media? He says, who has believed our report? Oy. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It means that the arm of the Lord will only be revealed to those that believe his report. No worry, we are going to come back to this verse. You will see what I'm saying. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So the one who believes his report will see his arm. So now, why do people struggle with believing God? There are three reasons. Today, I will try and talk about one. I will try, if I can finish, I will try. I'll talk about one. So, the first one, in fact, all of them is doubt, but is in doubt in different levels. So, the level one of doubt is, so just say, the reason why people struggle to believe God is doubt. Just write doubt. So level one doubt is, they are too aware of everything that contradicts God's word. They are too aware of everything that contradicts God's word and promises. And the resultant effect is doubt. That's level one of doubt. Level two doubt, call it hardness of heart. And level three doubt is spiritual doubt. Just put it like that. Spiritual doubt. I'm looking for words to explain it. It will be too long. So, spiritual doubt. Or you can put in brackets for that one. The spirituality of faith. The spirituality of faith. So, let's start with level one doubt. They are too aware of everything that contradicts God's word. So this is the issue. Do you know that if you are a doctor, and you know so much about the human heart or the human body, and God tells you, or maybe you have a wife. Let's assume you are a doctor and you have a wife who has a ruptured womb and all of that. And now, the pastor is preaching. And says, by word of knowledge. You did not tell him anything. No, he did not tell anybody. The pastor just looks at your wife and says, stand up! God says, you're going to have a child. Then you are a doctor. You know how a child is formed. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are so, you know how the egg fertilizes and everything and the womb and everything. But you, and you know that everything in your wife that makes a woman, woman or womb man. A woman that is able to, a man that is able to have a womb and carry a child. You know that everything inside has been taken away. You're like, okay, don't fool me here. I know what I'm doing. You see, the knowledge of what you know about medicine will be a hindrance for you to believe. Do you get what I'm saying? For instance, the way I know engineering, somebody comes and tells me that God can lift this building. Just leave the building and take it somewhere else. In my mind, I say, God, see, do you know, do you know the tensile strength of the rods in this building? Are you with me? I was telling you, do you know the mechanical breakage points of the equipment I will be used to? I know too much to believe. Although I'm talking about that part in Jesus' name. I'm God's man right now. I believe anything he says. Amen. I'm talking about, imagine I was just an engineer that has not known God. When God tells you, you know the amount of debt you are owing, God now tells you he will clear everything. Ha! You are like, God, what are you saying? And this is the problem why people cannot believe. And I'm going to talk about the other part of it because all of them are connected. This believing thing, it first starts with your mind, but eventually believing is with your heart. That's why I talked about spiritual unbelief or spiritual doubt. Because I was shocked when studying the Bible, and the Bible did not say, for with the mind, man believeth. It said, for with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. Ah! That means believing what must actually touch your spirit. But first of all, let's talk about this level. Level one. People struggle to believe God when they know too much about their problem than they know about God. Oh, did you hear what I just said? You will struggle to believe God when you know too much about your problem, too much about your challenge, too much about the issues on ground, too much about the country, than you know about God. Have you ever been in a state where somebody brought a product to you and said, buy this product, it will help you. And you said, no, I don't want to buy the product. Then the person starts explaining and starts saying, this product was made out of this herb. And this, two Chinese doctors came and did this. And as the person is explaining to you, telling you what this one does in the body, how that this one component of this product cleanses this part of the body, and that component of this product cleanses that part of the body. After a while, you say, how much is it? If it has happened to you before, let me see your hand. You know what's happening? Because you did not know anything about that product, it was easy for you to doubt it and reject it. But as more knowledge was coming, the knowledge began to drown your previous knowledge about the product. Are you with me? The knowledge began to drown your doubt and bring up faith. It is the same way. It's the same way in the spirit. The more you know about what you are facing, the less you will trust God. Ah. But the more you know about God, the more you learn about what he is, what he can do, who he is, gradually, all the things you are facing will now look like nothing. Because you see, when it comes to dealing with challenges, many people believe that when there's a mountain in front of you, God should come and give you a hammer and you will hit the mountain and the mountain will break into pieces. Can God do that? Yes. Does God do that? Yes. Does it happen many times? Yes. That's the level of miracles. But there's another level. The mountain is there, but you begin to learn about God. After a while, you start changing. This is where you are. This is where the mountain is. But as you begin to learn and grow in God, you become so big that the mountain that was like this now becomes like this. You just step over it and move on. Are you following me? So those are two levels. There is a level where God, oh God, help me to deal with the mountain. A time comes, you become so big, the mountain is nothing. You crush it on your own and walk. Are you following me? So let me look at a story. Let's look at one story that demonstrates what I'm talking about. I like the Bible for one thing. The Bible is graphical. Matthew 14. You know, this was exactly what happened to Peter, and it's about Peter's story we want to learn about. It's Peter's story we want to learn from. Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22. Let me tell you something here. What I'm saying may sound like what I've heard before. It may sound simple, but please don't take it that way. Don't take it that way. Give it all the attention it requires. Matthew 14 verse 22 to 31. The Bible says, and straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Can you read with me, everybody, from verse 26? 1, 2, 3, go. They were troubled, saying it is the spirit. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Read on. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.
Hey!
I like Peter. Maybe he would have thought, Peter, you want to chance me? Like, your master is walking on water. You want to walk on water too? Peter, you are becoming proud though. The way I'm looking at you like this. Peter, are you sure you are not the one planning to betray me? That's not what happened. And Jesus said, come. Hey! And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hey! That's audacity. Audacity to walk on water, because if Jesus tells you come, you can come. Hey! Are you hearing what I'm saying? If he tells you come, that means the water is inconsequential. I believe that if the Israelites had the faith of God, they would have walked on the Red Sea. Because Moses asked God, there is a sea in front of us. What should we do? You know what God said? Tell them to go forward. So God wanted somebody to say, if God said I should go forward, then let me go. Let me see what will happen. Oh my God. Oh my God. Look at this. So Peter walked on water because Jesus said, come. When he tells you come, don't look about the water. Don't look at the water. Look at the come. That means with the word of God, you can walk on water. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, but see this. As he was walking on water, he says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Do you realize that that verse contradicts the laws of nature? You don't begin to sink. You sink. Are you following me? What's that telling you? This was a graphical picture about the contest between faith and doubt. Oh my God. That means your level of sinking is dependent on your level of faith. That means if you have faith and you begin to lose faith, you start sinking small, small. But if you can get your faith back, oh my God. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me. So what's the problem here? How come he was walking on water at some point and started singing at other point? He removed his attention from the word of God to the challenge. So how to believe God, number one, you must surround yourself with his word. You must surround yourself with his word. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, guard thy heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Chapter 4 from verse 26 thereabouts. From verse 23, please. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life here does not represent the problems of life. Issues means it is the overflow of life. That means keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the overflow of your life. That means anything that can find its way into your heart will eventually come out in your life. Yes. You know, I said one time, you will become what you believe, not what you think you believe. What do you truly believe? You know, some people, they have this useless mindset. Yes, I know your experience has been telling you something. You know, some people say, my own things always delay. It will delay for a very long time. And when I've struggled and struggled, I will finally get it. You have to change that believing now. Say after me, I don't care what I've experienced. I don't care what looks real around me. I do not believe my experience. I believe the word of God. I believe the word of God. And the word of God has said about me,
He will restore to me the wasted years. I have the Spirit of God in my life. Glory! Guard your heart.
Look at this. Look, I like NLT. Thank you, whoever put this. Thank you, media. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. That means if you want to believe God, first of all, you must change what is coming in around you. You must keep the word of God in front of you. You must guard your heart from the wrong report. Now you understand that verse that says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That means the more you begin to hear about God. Hey! You know, I was listening to a sermon recently and the man said something that hit me. He just said it and I just started writing. Because that thing printed something on my spirit, man. That it is impossible for me to fail. Should I show it to you? Let me show it to you. So, let me tell you. Your faith will be dependent on how much you have heard. Your doubts will be dependent on how much you have heard. Oh, this business, people are prospering in it. But my own, well, I don't think I'm supposed to prosper in it. The question is, has God sent you? If God has given you the leading to be there, except God has given you specific instructions not to do it, the Bible says all the works of your hand will prosper. Yes, except God has told you specifically, don't do it. No. The Bible says, and whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. You see, you will now know that to walk in faith, to be a man of the faith, you cannot really separate being a man or woman of faith from having a strong walk with God. Because it is that walk and hearing God consistently that makes you to begin to think like God, operate like God. And out of the overflow of your heart, the realities of God in your heart will begin to affect your life. Tell me, I believe God. You want money. But the money you actually need, you are calculating about how will somebody give me this amount of money? How will I get it? How will I? No, the question is not how will you, it's how will God? So you can be limited, but is God limited? You can be stranded, but is God stranded? So you have to have more knowledge about who God is. Praise the Lord. So now, do you remember the time where God told Abraham to sacrifice his son? Do you remember that time? And that's Genesis 22. Praise the Lord. Let's read from verse 14. So Abraham was trying to sacrifice his son, and God said, Abraham! Don't sacrifice your son. Look into the field. I've given you a ram or a lamb there. Go there and bring him the sacrifice. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, because God brought, provided. God is providential. Amen? Amen. But there is something more I want you to see. See, even if you don't get anything in this service, get this one. Get this one. Verse 15. Genesis 22 from verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn. Hey, God swore, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Now everybody read the last part. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Aye. What did God do in giving this promise? God swore. That means there is no way under heaven this thing will fail. God swore for this. Now open to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Oh, you know what I'm trying to do to you? I'm trying to build in faith. You will see how this faith thing works now. Galatians chapter 3. Everybody read Galatians 3. From verse 26 to 29. It says,
For ye all are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ are put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Everybody read verse 29 right now. 1, 2, 3, go. I cannot hear you. He says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. That means the promise that God swore to Abraham and said, your seed will possess the gates of the enemy. If you are Christ, it's for you. Oh my God. Which enemy can stop me when God swore over me? Hey God. You know what this one is called? You can call it faith in the covenant. Mm-hmm. Faith in the swearing of God. God has to swear by himself because there is no other person greater than him. Usually you have to swear to somebody some bigger than you. But God swore. He swore. He said, I swear Abraham, I will bless you and your seed. And I am Abraham's seed because I'm in Christ. I will possess the gates of my enemy. Jump on your feet. Akata, fire, akata. Which enemy will stop new breed? We will possess the gate of our enemies. Because there is a sworn blessing. A sworn blessing of God above your life. Oh, these are the kind of scriptures you carry to prayer. There is, they say, in my family, there is a pattern. Oh, in this our family, nobody becomes rich and stays rich. Oh. No, this, are you a seed of Abraham? Are you Abraham's seed? Are you Abraham's seed? You will possess the gate of your enemy. Rejoice about that right now. What is that mountain? What is that challenge? It will possess its gates. Because I am Abraham's seed. God has sworn over my life. Begin to talk to the Lord right now. Pray right now. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe. Oh, I believe. I believe. I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe.